The following is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 640 Toronto.
And good Sunday morning to everyone out there. Thank you so much for making us part of your weekend. I'm Chris Creston, joined as always by Kelvin, the money guy. And today we're going to be chatting about a whole bunch of things to do with your money. It's not just investments. There's all sorts of other things that Kelvin can help you with. And you can always get started by visiting his website. That's askkelvin.ca. That's askkelvin.ca. You can click on the schedule a call link in the top right-hand corner. And boom, you pick a time and a date of your choosing. And you've got a call with Kelvin scheduled, and you don't have to play telephone tag. You don't have to think, I don't want to call him and have to leave a message. Well, no, you select the time and date of your choosing, and you have that appointment with Kelvin, the money guy. That's askkelvin.ca. That's askkelvin.ca. And I'll throw out his phone number a little later on in the show if you want to give him a call directly and just ring him and say, hey, I've got a question about my money. I got a question about buying a home. I got a question about life insurance. All those things are things we're going to be touching on here today. How's everything going this Sunday morning?
Hey, good morning. Everything's good.
Yeah, you know, we've had sort of a lot going on in people's money life lately. Of course, there's the uncertainty surrounding the pandemic that we're just sort of used to now. There's the uncertainty surrounding the war in Ukraine, which is frustrating and infuriating for so many of us. And then there's just sort of extra things thrown in the balance. And you know, this week, the federal government decided they're going to announce their budget, and they're going to have a bunch of goodies in there. They're supposed to help people, especially people who are trying to afford a home. And for some people, it's infuriating too, because they look at it and think, does this actually help me? What's in there? What is there anything, like, before we dig too deep into everything else? I think that that's sort of the headline on a lot of people's minds. And one of the things was this new home buyers plan, this new home buyers savings account.
Yeah, so it's really bizarre what they did, because, you know, the old home buyers plan that we all know, you can take $35,000 out of your RSP and use it towards a home, and you don't pay the tax on the RSP, right? So pretty much you're just loaning yourself your own money. You're just giving yourself a loan to buy a house. Well, the new one is
what I did, and so many people in the audience probably did as well.
Mm-hmm. And after, I'll tell you why you shouldn't pay this back. Anyhow, so the new one is now you can put, I don't know, another home buyer's plan, I guess, and put in the $30,000 and take it out. The problem is you can only use one or the other. You can't use both. So it's really like a moot point. And what they didn't figure is the typical person that's buying a house, couple, married couple or single, whatever, right? Or 30 to 35 maybe. Where are you going to get $60,000 to put in both those plans? And if you get $60,000 from your parents, or you win, or you invested your money properly, well, you can only use the $35,000. So what's the point? So it's a bogus. It's very bogus.
That's it. You know what? And it's funny, because that's the way that I looked at it. And I'm the radio guy. You're the money guy. So my reaction was, this doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me. And you know, to hear you say it, it's sort of, well, okay, that it makes even less sense now to think of it as it's sort of a shell game. We've just sort of moved it from one place to another.
Yeah, that's all. We put it from the left pocket to the right pocket, and you can't use both pockets to buy the beer. That's the problem.
Exactly. And you know, you bring up a good point that most of the young people, and it's generally couples now that can afford to buy a home. Very few people can afford to buy it on their own. They don't have that cash anyway.
No. So it's kind of one of those, bizarre thing. And think about the old home buyers plan. I don't know, Chris, if you used your RSPs to buy your home. And
yeah, I did.
And the thing is, did you? Yeah. So now 2 years, is it 2 years since you moved in there? I don't remember.
Oh, I'm talking way back in my when I first bought my first property.
Oh, right, your first house. That's right.
So that was
That's right.
Yeah, no, it's
I forgot about that. Yeah.
But I've gone and I've been diligently paying it off, paying it back. And how many years do we have to do it?
15 years. So think about this, for example.
Almost paid back.
Okay, so think about what you just did. You took $20,000 out of your RSP 15 years ago, whatever, to buy your house. And then they told you to take the next 15, you paid no tax. Then they said, now you got 15 years to put it back, right? 1/15th every year for 15 years. So now you've put back that $20,000 in your RSP. And when you take it out, guess what? You're going to pay the tax on it. So what did you just do? You created a big tax problem for yourself. So the money that you end up paying back, let's say it was $1,200, right? Mm-hmm. That you have to pay back every year. If you didn't pay back the $1,200, they add it to your income and they tax you on it. So before you pay back the home buyers, what you need to do is say, is that $1,200 going to put me in the next tax bracket? And if it doesn't, then don't pay it back. Take the money and pay down something that's, like a credit card debt. If it's going to put you in the next tax bracket, well, why don't you go and borrow $20,000 that you took for your house, take the $1,200 and pay the interest on the borrowed money that's outside an RSP or a tax saving, and now you get a tax break. So if you're in a 40% tax bracket, you're getting back about $400. The $20,000 is compounding for you. Money doubles every 8 to 10 years if you do it properly. So what you would have done now, 15 years later, is that $20,000 would have been $40,000, might have been $60,000, rather than just having $20,000 back in your RSP. So you did the wrong. So people do the
Here
wrong.
Here I am. I'm the guy that we've talked about before, the shoulda, woulda, coulda guy.
And yes.
I've wasted my money instead of making more.
Yeah, because a home buyer is just a loan. You're just loaning yourself your own money. So if you don't pay it back, who cares? The caveat is the amount you're supposed to pay back will be taxable if you don't use some common sense about it. So people that have their home buyers that bought their house 2 years ago and have to start paying it back this year, please sit down with your advisor and figure out why you shouldn't, or give me a call and I'll tell you why you shouldn't. It's the same money that you're going to have to pay throughout the year anyways. So why not look for something sensible to do with it rather than give it back?
And I think that's so interesting, and it's why so many of us, need a financial advisor. We need someone like you in our corner, Kelvin. And to everyone out there listening, give Kelvin a call. If you don't have a financial advisor, ask your advisor if they think that would work for you and maybe your kids or whoever it is in your life that you're thinking about. But if you don't have an advisor, you want a second opinion, give Kelvin a call. I told you I'd give out his direct number at some point in the show. Here it is, 416-457-7526. That's 416-457-PLAN. Easy to remember, 416-457-PLAN, because you need one. And if you don't have a plan, you don't have someone in your corner like Kelvin, you'll make so the mistakes that you make when you're just doing the ordinary thing, when you're doing things as they seem to be prescribed, as sort of your neighbors are doing them, as your parents and friends have done them. But there are different ways to do things, and they're not crazy. They're not out there. They're just little tweaks in the way that you can do things, and you find yourself ahead rather than constantly behind or constantly just keeping your head above water, which is what I hear the most from people, especially young people trying to get into the real estate market, right? They find themselves sort of caught behind and wishing that they had an advantage, or wishing that they had a leg up on all the other opportunities, all the other things that they have put before them. And and I think this is probably a decent time to take a quick break, and we'll come back and we'll talk to Kelvin about a whole lot more. One of the things that we're going to be chatting about is life insurance, critical injury insurance as well, critical illness insurance. That's all coming up here as we continue. Remember, the website is askkelvin.ca. That's askkelvin.ca. And you can call him anytime at 416-457-7526. That's 416-457-7526. 457 plan. Stay tuned. Whole lot more of Your Life, Your Money coming up here with Kelvin the Money Guy on 640 Toronto.
You're listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 640 Toronto.
If you've got some issues with your money and your money life, you should probably be giving a financial advisor a call. And that's why it's important to have one in the corner. If you've got one, give them a call about any of the things we're talking about. If you don't, call Kelvin. And if you got a second opinion or you need a second opinion, call Kelvin as well. And you can always give him a call directly. I'll throw out the number at the end of the segment where you can call Kelvin directly. And you know, when I do, his cell phone blows up. People are always calling Kelvin about these things. So if you also want to just book a call and book an appointment, you can always visit his website, askkelvin.ca. That's askkelvin.ca. You can book a call. You don't have to show up to his office. You can just have a quick call and have a chat with him. That's askkelvin.ca. And, you know, I was just saying, Kelvin, it's so important to have a financial advisor in your corner. And you know, one of the reasons is the investments and the stocks and the bonds and the RSPs and the TFSAs and home buyers plans and stuff. But there's so much more. It's not just, you know, what you're doing at RSP time. There's so much more that can be done with a good financial advisor, and that'll get you that advantage that I was talking about before the end of the break, before the last break, where we do the sort of normal things all the time. And we just sort of do what our parents did, or we do what our brother did, or we do what our sister did, or we do what our neighbors do. And we think, why am I not getting anything better than what I had? Why am I not getting ahead? Why do I always feel like I'm just keeping my head above water? There are things that you can do, and it's all over the place. And one of the things, Kelvin, that you talk about quite often is the insurance and the advantages you can have if you have the right insurance plans. And that's something that you don't necessarily think about, and you're not going to get that information at a bank.
Well, think about it. You know, we in the financial planning business have been doing this for 25, 30, 40, 50 years. We just talk about life, and we talk about the stock markets going up and down, right? You know, I earned this, I didn't earn this, the markets are going to crash, and all these things are going to happen. But what's our greatest asset, you think, Chris? So our greatest asset is to get up in the morning, the ability to go and earn a living. That's our greatest asset, it's right?
Potential, yeah.
Yeah, so what if something was to happen to us in now or in the future, meaning death or illness? Stroke, cancer, heart attack, right? You know, in our generation, what do they say? 2 in 5 will be diagnosed with cancer, and 1 in 4 will die, right? So this next set, after the 9:30, we'll talk about critical illness, but I wanted to talk a little bit about life insurance. What purpose does it serve when we're living, and what purpose does it serve when we die? So life insurance and critical illness should be part of your financial plan. And many of us don't include that. We don't think about it because we associate life insurance with what?
Death.
With death, right?
Darkness, it's funny. Sorrow, despair.
Yeah. And it's really funny because we wouldn't do a will because we think, oh my God, I'm going to die. The minute I do that will, I'm going to die. Or the minute I buy that life insurance, I'm going to die. It's funny how our human mind works, but we have to get around that. We have to get our emotions away. Our feelings. Remember I talk about our feelings? Get your feelings out of this. What I found is that most people buy life insurance from a friend or a family member. And many times, it's not what they should buy. In fact, never deal with a friend with money. Never deal with a friend or family member. That's a great way to ruin your Christmas, your Easter, everything, right? So don't buy anything from friends or family. I would, in my opinion anyways, right? Could be wrong, could be right. So unfortunately, that's how people get their life insurance. So most people, they don't buy a life insurance. It's sold to them. It's given down their throat by selling them the thing, the insurance. So that's something, it, like I say, it should be part of your financial plan. But if it doesn't, if you don't do it according to your lifestyle, you're doing it because you want to please someone like your friends or family, don't do it. Sit down with a proper financial advisor. Not when I say proper, I don't mean, sit down with with an advisor that's unbiased, that looks outside the box and really think about what you should do. So, insurance, life insurance, and critical illness actually, to give you a sense of security for the people that you love, right? The proceeds from life insurance, first of all, is not taxable. So there's a huge advantage. And the money could be paid, to pay off a mortgage, could be paid off to pay off child expenses like education, pay off some debt that you may have, and mortgage, pay off your mortgage. In fact, there's a real problem when people buy, when they get their mortgage. They go to the bank or whoever. And then the mortgage person or the bank people says, "Well, you want mortgage insurance?" And they go, "Yeah." They tick off the box. Well, it's the wrong thing to do. There's nothing called mortgage insurance. It's just a term coined by the bank. Really, it's a life insurance. So there's very many things people that are listening should go and grab their mortgage statement and look and see, did they tick off the box for life insurance? And if they did, have a look at what they're paying. And many times it's the wrong thing to do because when you buy a mortgage, when you have a mortgage, if you're not going to pay off the mortgage in 5 years, which very many people do, when the 5 year comes to renew the mortgage, well, you're 5 years older. So guess what's going to happen to your premium? It's going to go up.
I go up.
So, yeah. And in 10 years, guess what happens? It's going to double because you're 10 years older. And what if you got some can't, what if you got some type of medical issue, you won't get it.
Interesting.
So,
So then this
yeah.
really just there to, I guess, at that point, the bank's only going to make more and more money, or the lender's only going to make more and more money on that mortgage insurance because, like you said, who's paying off their mortgage in 5 years? By the end of
Right.
your mortgage, you're going to find yourself paying a lot of money for this insurance.
And here's another reason. So let's say your mortgage is $500,000. You buy a mortgage insurance for $500,000 with the bank, right? And you die. Well, guess who gets the money? The bank. What if you had a 2% mortgage and you died? I don't like to talk about dying, but let's say you died. Wouldn't you like the spouse to get the $500,000 invested and make 5% rather than give it to the bank and pay down a 1% mortgage? So people really need to go and go after the show and dig out your mortgage statement and have a look. And another problem is the underwriting is done after the death. So for example, you get a mortgage insurance and there's no underwriting, but then you die. That's when it's done, and they find out you got cancer or something, and they go, "Well, we can't." Or you smoke, and you say you're a non-smoker. Well, guess what? The claim is denied. So really, be mindful of that. So that's the one thing I can say about the life insurance is make sure you go and have a look at it. We never review that. It's funny how we are. Right? We'll look at our investment statements every quarter, and we mad at advisor if we're happy. I don't know, good or bad. But we'll never look at our life insurance policy for some reason. So you should go and grab it after the show and have a look and see, do I have a term insurance? Do I have a long, like, what do I got? And
Right.
many
And then
people are.
so many people just probably buy it in a hurry. Maybe they just had their first kid and they think, well, I just gotta make sure that they're covered, and you don't review it afterwards, and you don't review your mortgage either, and you tick that box, and all of a sudden, like, you shouldn't. I guess the advice would be not to, not get the mortgage insurance. It's not get the mortgage insurance, but get a proper life insurance plan
Well,
instead.
and that's the thing. When you go shopping, right? When you go shopping, if something is $20, or you can get it for, $15, you're going to buy the $15 one, right? Same thing as life insurance. Many people buy a term insurance, like a term 10 or a term 20 insurance. But sometimes it's the wrong thing to buy. You wasted all your money, because if you don't die, you get no money out of it. So it's very interesting how we think about things. You know, it's funny how we don't think about things. Mm-hmm. So insurance is it's when you're living, when you die, it pays off everything for you. It also covers estate tax. Many people have two homes. Right, their real house that they live in, or their cottage, or right. They bought a condo or a rental because of the housing market. Right. Well, what do you think happens when you die? You've got to pay tax on it. You got to pay capital gains tax.
Right, and it's not you; it's your spouse or it's your kids or.
Mm-hmm. And how many people today that are in their 80s, and their kids are in their, I guess, 40s or 50s. And the last parent died, and now the people have to pay the tax on the money. So we don't have the money. So what do we got to do? We got to sell the property to pay the tax. So it's a big, big problem. So if we know in the future, in 20 years from now, that we're going to have tax or leave tax problems for our kids, well, why wouldn't we go and buy a joint last to die insurance policy now that'll cover the taxes when the last spouse dies? So insurance is not just for when you die today. It's more important when you die down the road because of all the taxes that have to be paid. So you really got to be mindful.
You know, when you think about wealth, or you think about how wealthy families, you know, pass on their wealth to the next generation, one of the big ways is through property. And if you do have, if you're lucky enough to have made enough money to have a secondary property and you want to pass it on to your kids, well, if the tax mm-hmm. burden is too much to keep it, then you didn't do much to pass it on for generations and generations, right? It stops with you.
Yeah. Yeah. So why not look at those things now and see what the problem, look at a 80-year-old person today, 85, whatever, and see what issues they have when it comes to the tax man. They invested well, they saved well, they lived great. But now all that money that they made, they have to give it back. What's the point? But what if you found a way to transfer the money to the next generation? And how wealthy people do it is through a life insurance, a joint last to die life insurance policy. There's many types of insurance policies. And you know, whether life insurance is a smart investment may depend on what you need and what you want the policy to do for you. Okay, so it's gone beyond I die, I get some money. It's more of a tax planning strategy than anything else. So it's all changed. You know, the whole world's changed as far as investments and things like that. And after the break, we'll talk about what type of insurance should you buy and how much coverage should you buy, right?
Great. That's coming up after the break here on Your Life, Your Money. It's all interesting stuff and stuff that you don't often think about, or you don't find your mind wandering into because, you know, like we said, we don't like talking about death. We don't like thinking about it, but there's so much where life insurance can actually affect you while you're living, can affect your family and can affect things for the better, and you don't have to worry about it being a dark thing. If you've got a question, you can always call Kelvin privately and chat with him at 416-457-7526. That's 416-457-PLAN. Get chatting about your plan. Get chatting about your life insurance. Take a look at what your life insurance actually offers you. See what the term is on it. See if you've got this joint last to die policy and see if that's something that you could get into. 416-457-7526. That's 416-457-PLAN. Whole lot more of Your Life, Your Money continuing here on 640 Toronto.
You're listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 640 Toronto.
And thank you for making us part of your Sunday morning. Don't forget to visit Kelvin's website, askkelvin.ca. That's askkelvin.ca. Who's Kelvin? He is the money guy. He is one of the top financial advisors in the country and an all-around great guy. And if you made us part of your Sunday, then you've listened. Hopefully you've listened before. If you haven't, then welcome. And we're hoping that there's something that you can take away from this show and you can learn from, or maybe it's a question that you can bring to your advisor, or you can give Kelvin a call and ask him about it. AskKelvin.ca is a great place to start. That's AskKelvin.ca. Or if you prefer to call him directly, 416-457-7526. That's 416-457-PLAN. And Kelvin, you know, we've been talking about life insurance in the last segment and talking about really how it's become, you know, it's not just necessarily about, all right, well, this, I'm going to buy this insurance and then they'll pay my bills when I've passed away. There's a whole tax planning side to it as well.
Right. Well, you know, life insurance gives you a peace of mind knowing that money will be available to protect your family and the estate in a number of ways, right? So your life insurance follows you when you retire and you're no longer to be insured by your employer, right? Because we all have life insurance when we work. But when you leave, it's done. So that's one thing you should look at. How much coverage do I need? How much coverage depends on you? The rule of thumb is get three times your income, but maybe it's changed now because inflation and all that stuff has happened, right? So revisit your insurance policy, go pull it out. What can I buy? What type? There's all kinds of insurance out there. There's whole life, there's term, there's, I don't know, all kinds of stuff. What's right for you is what's right for you. So you need to sit down and see where you are. Term insurance, in my opinion, many people buy a term 10. Well, a term 10 in 10 years, if you don't die, you get no money. It's like renting, either rent or buy, right? Many people I see that come from the radio shows or clients that give me their insurance policy to review, it expires when they're 60, 65 because they bought it 20 years ago from the whoever they bought it from. And at the time seemed like a great idea because 20 years from now seems like a long time. But guess what? It's not a long time. So instead of paying $100 premium, now it's going to be $300. So right, that's where the
problem. Your
choice
now is you're 60, yeah. 65, and your choice is either live without life insurance or, you know, re-up at the new rate based on your new age, based on your current health conditions, and your premiums are going to be higher.
And that's when you really need the insurance, is when you're in your 60s, because you're going to be liable to pay mortgage or you want to leave money to your, you know, your heirs or whatever. So that's where the problem is. So be very mindful of what type you buy.
I get it. Okay? And you know what? The term is very attractive because it's going to be cheaper. It's going to look like it's cheaper and everything. And you're going to look at it and you're going to say, all right, well, 20 years, is that's a long time. But you're kind of betting against yourself with that, right?
Yeah.
And it's a bad bet because the life expectancy is more than that, depending on when you're buying it. But
exactly.
If you're buying it in, when you're 40 and then, you know, you're only betting on yourself to live to 60, well, most people live into their 70s and 80s or more. And you're so it's a bad bet to make.
It's like retiring. Long time ago when they set the retirement age, it was 65 because, my God, we're dead when we're like 70. Mm. Insurance is the same thing because we're living till 85 to 90. So if your term 20 or term 30 expires when you're 80, well, now what do you do? Well, you can't buy insurance because you're too old, first of all, and you might have health issues. So there's two types of policies, the whole life and the term. The whole life is like buying a Cadillac. And the term is like buying, well, I don't want to mention any other brands, but it's like renting,
a lesser
renting
car.
And buying.
Okay.
Yeah. What would you like to do?
What it is.
Yeah. So both type of policies have their benefits and drawbacks. So it all depends on your needs. What do you need and your financial objectives? That's why I say it should be part of your financial plan. So it could be if you die early, or it could be when you die the appropriate age, 90, whatever, to protect the estate. So everything depends on you. Don't just go out on a whim and buy it from a friend or family member, because you're the one who's going to regret doing it. You know, some people mistakenly believe that life insurance is a scam. And how do we think that? Well, we think of TV shows like Groundhog Day. Remember when he was trying to sell them the life insurance?
Yeah, that's right.
So we think of Herb Tarlick from the WKRP. So we think it's a big scam, but it's not. It all depends on you, and it depends on how it fits into your world. So you really need to sit and think about it. You know, we don't know when we're going to die. Nobody knows when. It could be today, tomorrow, 50 years in the future, but it's going to happen. So life insurance will protect your ears, and it'll give them some peace of mind through any difficult time. Remember, our greatest asset is to get up in the morning and go to work, to earn an income, right? What if you can't? So we're not, in my opinion, Chris, you know, I don't think we're going to die like before we're, I don't know, get older, like 70s, 80s. But the one thing that could happen to us is get critically ill. Our generation is stroke, cancer, heart attack. So I think it's more important for people to buy a critical illness insurance than anything else. These critical illness insurance, you buy what they call a 20-year pay. So 20 years from now, if you didn't get one of the 27 things, but the big things are the stroke, cancer, heart attack, you get all your money back. So you always buy one time your income, okay? And if you can't fund it, if you don't have the money to fund it, why don't you borrow the money from your RSP? So for example, a 40-year-old person buys $100,000 of critical illness. It costs you about $3,000, let's say, for example. Well, why don't you take the $3,000 out of your RSP and pay for it? Pay the withholding tax, which is minimal, 10%, so $300. Put the money in the critical illness, guarantees that if something happens to you within the next 20 years, illness, not dying, illness, you get $100,000 to pay and do whatever you want with it, right? In 20 years, nothing happens to you. Well, you take the money and put it back in your RSP. So 20 years, $3,000 is $66,000 or $60,000. You put that money back in your RSP. If your income is about $70,000 or $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, you're going to save yourself $17,000 in taxes. So what did it really cost you over the 20 years? Nothing. Just like you borrowed your money from your RSP to buy your house, well, why don't you borrow the money from your RSP to buy a peace of mind that if you get stroke, cancer, heart attack, nothing happens. So you really need to sit, people need to sit and think about that. Maybe after the break, I'll talk about some of the benefits and some of the things that you get out of the critical illness. The biggest problem with the critical illness I find is how do we fund it? How do I pay for it? So if you do it the way I'm telling you to do it, you win both ways. You and your family win both ways. Take some of the money, like I say, from the RSP and fund it. And you get all the money back. So what did it? It's a no-brainer, to be honest with you.
And that's the thing. I think that the biggest leap is that, how do I fund it? How do I get this done? And that's why it's great to have someone like Kelvin, the money guy, in your corner, because he's been there. He's done this for people and it's worked. And if you're able to do that, you get that peace of mind. God forbid you actually have to use it. You use it. And you know what? The thing that doesn't kill you also doesn't make you broke. And then you're right, in a better position when you get better. And that's where you want to be. And then if you don't use it, then you're actually up. So that is a pretty good situation to be in. We'll talk more about that as the show continues here on 640 Toronto. It's Your Life, Your Money with Kelvin, the Money Guy. Don't forget to visit his website, askkelvin.ca. That's askkelvin.ca. Or you can call him 416-457-7526. That's 416-457-PLAN. Talking more about that critical illness insurance on the other side here, continuing on 640 Toronto.
You're listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 640 Toronto.
And thank you so much for making us part of your weekend. We really appreciate it. And give us a ring, like the big voice people said, and give Kelvin a call on his private line. And we'll give you that number by the end of the show as well. But I want to also let you know that you can book a call with him on his website by visiting askkelvin.ca. That's ask kelvin.ca. Click on the schedule a call link and you will be connected with Kelvin at a time and date of your choosing. But if you prefer to just give him a ring, I'll give you that number at the end of the show where you can call Kelvin and get chatting with him about a quick question. You just need to be thinking, you know what, that thing they were talking about the home buyer's plan, I got a question. I just want to ask Kelvin about it. Give him a call. I'll throw out the number at the end of the show here coming up at the top of the hour. But right now we're talking about life insurance, critical illness insurance, and, you know, Kelvin, you're a financial advisor. Why are we talking to a financial advisor about insurance plans?
Well, you know, I think life and critical illness insurance, you know, must be a part of your financial plan. It shouldn't be something that you just buy or sold to. It is just as important, if not more important, than the stock market's going up and down. You know, no one can predict how long we will live or what illnesses might affect our dreams. Therefore, you know, give yourself and your family, I would say, a peace of mind by sitting down with your advisor and revisiting your policy. Go and pull it out and have a look at it. Remember, you know, your greatest asset is the ability to get up in the morning and go and earn a living. Now, if you can't do that, what happens? Well, we don't know. So the two things to protect that is life insurance and critical illness. So you really got to look at those things as part of your financial plan, not just buying a product again. So critical illness is really kind of cool thing. You don't use it, you get your money back. Right? Imagine you bought car insurance and you never got into an accident. And 20 years later, the insurance company says, hey, you've been good, man. Here's your money back.
I would love that. What a deal. Where do I sign up?
Yeah. Yeah. Critical illness is very hard to get in the sense that you have to be really healthy, perfectly healthy. So when do you get it? When you're young. Think of kids, right? If you have kids that are under 20, every parent that's listening that have kids under 20, go and get your kids a critical illness / life insurance for $100,000. It costs maybe 12, maybe 100 bucks a month. It's the best wedding gift you'll ever give your kids. I'm telling you, because this never existed before. When we were younger, we had a life insurance, but we never had critical illness. So the best gift you can give your kids, your best wedding present, is go get them a critical illness paid off in 20 years. If they're 20, by the time they're 40, nothing to pay for. And it carries them and follows them for the rest of their lives, no matter what may happen. So that's one thing you should do. One less worry.
And one of the things that you talked about before the break is how to fund that. And you can use your RSPs, pay that withholding tax, and
Or,
you know, work your finances that way.
One of the big things that happen with critical illness is you get what they call best doctors. So, for example, let's say you got an illness that, well, it's new, not new, but it's a rare thing. Then what they do is they search the world for the best doctor to look after that. And that's what you get with this. The best time to buy critical illness or life insurance is, guess when? Now, because you're healthy and you don't need it. Always look ahead. Always look ahead. That's why the windshield is bigger than the rearview mirror, right? Look ahead. Always think ahead of what you're going to do. Is there a cost to it? Of course. There's a cost to everything. But let's figure out how to pay for it. Let's figure out, do you need it? I think personally, anybody under 40 that's listening have to go and get themselves a critical illness insurance, because it might go away soon. It's starting to go away in the US because of the COVID. The insurance companies, you know, one day in time is going to say, man, we can't afford this anymore. If you buy $100,000 critical illness, you get 100 grand when you're diagnosed, whatever you may diagnose with. That 100,000 is not taxable and can go towards paying for, you know, treatment, things like that. So
treatment,
really,
maybe home care, things that aren't really covered, right? Maybe you need to get some sort of special equipment, or you need to renovate your house or something to make sure that you can, you know, live and recover properly.
Yeah, and that's one of the thing, you know, they're saying 90% of people that are diagnosed with cancer are age 50 and over. 90%. So why wouldn't you buy it if you're in your 30s and your 40s knowing that that's what's happening? Well, why don't you go get it now? And why don't you fund it from your RSP if I was you? I was looking at other stats, you know, Chris, and it says 229,000 Canadians will be diagnosed with some type of cancer. And really shockingly, I didn't realize this, was 84,600 will actually die. But, you know, before, I remember growing up, we never really knew anybody that had cancer. Eh? I didn't know any. My mom passed away from cancer, and she never smoked and did those things that we knew caused cancer. But it happened. So, you know, everybody knows someone that has it. So why not go? You might not get it. And if you don't get it, well, you get your money back. But if you do get it, you get 100 grand. So what do you have to lose? Nothing.
Right, exactly. And it's just a matter of that hurdle of how do you fund it, and you've got a plan for how to do it. And if you haven't, weren't listening earlier and you want to, you know, find out more about that, you can always listen to past shows at askkelvin.ca, or you can give them a call if you want to see if that would work for you. If you've got the ability to fund that critical illness insurance through your RSP or through some other funding or through some other source of money, you can, you know, see what tricks Kelvin has up his sleeves. He's been there for decades. He's been doing this for clients, and it's worked. And, you know, you said about, mm-hmm. you know, getting it for your kids. I know you did it for your daughter, right? Mm-hmm. We had Brittany on the show talking about
exactly. Critical insurance. I'm telling you, man, it's the best thing that people could do for their kids. It's the best wedding gift you can give them, because it'll last them forever. Even if they split up, they can take it with them. So really consider that. Sit down with your advisor and dig into it. Don't think you're buying something. My gosh, what you're doing is you're giving yourself a peace of mind and your family a peace of mind for the future. And there's nothing better you can do for your family than that, I think, anyhow.
Absolutely terrific. And thank you so much, Kelvin, for, you know, providing us with this insight and helping us figure out some of these details, because it is a conversation a lot of us don't want to have, but there's so much that can be learned from it, and so many different ways that we can find to fund things to make sure that we've got the money and money for our kids.
I don't know. Bring it up.
You're getting together. While the kids are digging around for some Easter eggs or whatever they're doing, you can go and have a quick chat about insurance, and, you know, maybe take a look at your policy after the show. See what it says in there. See what kind of term you've got. Don't look at the time. We do have to go. And I thank you, Kelvin, for making another great show and very informative. I promised everyone I would give out Kelvin's cell phone number at the end of the show. It's 416-457-7526. That's 416-457-PLAN. Give him a call. And don't forget, you can always visit his website, askkelvin.ca. Thank you again for making us part of your Sunday, and stay tuned to 640 Toronto.
The preceding was a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 640 Toronto.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.